This is Hemet.
And Jessica.
And you're listening to the Friendly Atheist Podcast. Please go to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast to support this show. Now, more than ever, we could use your help. And also, if you give $5 a month, you get ad-free episodes and exclusive bonus episodes. And because we are coming near to episode 500, we're having a party. Tell us all about it, Jessica, with no voice.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I did karaoke last night, and it's 9:30 in the morning, so fuck you, Hemant.
Yeah.
We are having a meetup. The date has changed since last we spoke. Hemant had something to say.
Sorry.
Yeah. I told him many times, do you have this weekend free? Yes, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. And then, fuck. After I had the sign. Okay.
All right. When's the party
Hemant
at?
Fucked up. And let's all
fully
point
admit
and laugh.
This. Fully
okay.
Admit it.
So it's going to be at Solemnoath Brewery, October 7th.
Solemn Oath.
Solemn Oath. There's a bunch of non-alcoholic stuff there. If you're not a drinker, pet friendly, kid friendly, I think. And you can bring food if you want. I think there might
be a food truck.
And this
is in the western
there.
Suburbs of Chicago.
Oh,
and
yes,
all
yes,
the
yes.
details we have in our Facebook group for the podcast.
Yep.
And we will have a link to it as we get closer to the date.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be super fun. Also, my birthday is October 1st, so I'm officially making it my birthday party as well.
Very nice. And with that, let me start with an update on a story everyone in the world covered like 8 years ago.
Oh,
did you know Kim Davis, that bigoted county clerk
from Kentucky,
is back in the news again?
No, she's not.
She is. I thought it was
question.
Over.
Has she changed her hairstyle?
Nope.
Oh, let me
still
see.
There's no picture of her today. But I just assume about her has changed.
Truly, certainly not her morals or values.
So, quick recap, if you were not alive 8 years ago, that's a good chunk of our listeners. So, she's the county clerk in Rowan County, Kentucky, and in 2015, same-sex marriage has been legalized nationally, and so a gay couple goes to her and says, hello, we would like to get married, please sign our paperwork, and she says no, and they're like, but you're the government. And she's like, whatever, I'm a Jesus friend. So basically says no to it, starts this whole thing because she says no to several couples. This goes through all sorts of legal shenanigans. And the bottom line is, at the end of the day, the state of Kentucky had to pay out like over $200,000+ because she worked for the state.
Yeah, because when you break the law, there's consequences sometimes.
Yeah, taxpayers were on the hook for her Christian bigotry. And then two of the gay couples sued her personally. And that's the reason she's back in the news, because that case where the gay couple, David Ermold and David Moore, they sued her in a personal capacity, and a jury heard that case this past week. It was a really quick trial. Like, it wasn't a long thing. But, I got emails from right-wing groups. They're like, the jury is meeting today. Oh, they already seated the jury. And this is, like, Monday and Tuesday. They're like, the case is heard. Send us money. All this stuff. And so they already ruled on, the jury decided she has to pay personally. She personally has to pay both men $50,000 each, $100,000 total.
Wow. Both men or both couples?
These are the two men
David and David.
David and David, one couple. So $100,000 total to this one couple.
Out of her pocket.
And remember, her lawyers had argued she had qualified immunity, like a killer cop. And basically saying she can't be sued because we just say cop. She works for the government. But qualified immunity doesn't work according to the National Conference of State Legislatures. They say you can't use that protection when a government official violates a clearly established constitutional right.
Yeah.
So she wasn't just acting, doing her job in her position and you don't like it.
Mm.
They're saying, no, she was breaking the rules. You can't say she's qualified immunity. She's immune from prosecution for anything like that.
Yeah, like she's a prince from some European country who hits a pedestrian.
She fucked around. Now she's finding out. And I should say, $100,000, this is exactly what the couple asked for. They didn't ask for more and the jury brought it down. This is what they wanted. And the jury said, yeah, we'll give it to you.
Okay.
A couple things to keep in mind. There was another couple that also sued Kim Davis in a personal capacity.
Mm-hmm.
A different jury heard that case. They decided she owed them nothing.
Really?
Yeah, which is weird. I don't know what that jury decided. I don't know why they said the other couple.
Cases, like, I wonder if there was something that wasn't allowed into evidence in one that wasn't the other, something like that.
I'm not sure, and I haven't heard a good reason for that, but you could tell the right-wing groups that defend Kim Davis are like, you guys, we won a case.
Oh,
it's
my
like,
God.
Okay, but all the headlines are about the one you lost, just FYI.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind, that she didn't... Like, it wasn't a slam dunk win against Kim Davis in every case.
No.
But in one of them.
Oh, I'm glad she's going to be my, like, what, wage garnishment? Is that how this works?
So here's the thing. She was working as a Kentucky County clerk.
I always wanted to say wage garnishment. I've never said it out loud before.
She was there in 2015. In 2018, she was up for re-election. And David Ermold, yeah, that's an elected position. David Ermold, one of those gay men.
Ran against her.
Ran against her as a Democrat. David actually lost in the Democratic primary.
Oh, twist.
Someone else won the Democratic
primary. This movie isn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
But that Democrat did end up beating Kim Davis. So she's been out of office since like 2019 officially. Okay. So she's just Kim working. I don't know what she does anymore. I don't care. But she's not in that position anymore. And guess what? You haven't heard the Rowan County clerks in the news ever since because they just follow the rules like they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm. I love a boring government institution, you know?
One of the reasons the men wanted $100,000 from her, their lawyer basically said, it's for mental anguish.
Yeah.
The lawyer said, you know, he and his co-counsel also plan to file a motion for their attorney's fees as well. But this is what the lawyer said. You can't Google their name without seeing Kim Davis. Anything they do, it's not in a vacuum. It's in the Kim Davis shadow. It's extremely emotional for my clients. The jury saw that and they agreed. So, interesting.
Yeah.
Agreed.
It's...
That has to suck. Well, tell us about your wedding day, Kim.
Well, and it's also a thing of like, not just what did they earn this money? Why do they deserve this money? But it's also about punishment, right? Like you can't break the law and just
if you're working
away
for the
it,
government,
especially.
Yeah, you can't break the law and say, I don't care what the government says. Jesus told me I don't have to do my job.
Yeah.
Not an option.
Wow.
Go work at a church if you want to.
Truly, they're hiring. I know Dennis Rader got a pretty good job at a church for years.
We'll get to that story soon.
Wait.
Churches everywhere are hiring because they can't find people.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Do you think Mikey should apply?
Yes. Yes.
Undercover Mikey.
Kim Davis's lawyers at Liberty Counsel, the right-wing group, say they plan to appeal the decision, which, of course, they say they're going to do that. There's no reason to think the ruling would be overturned. It's a jury decision.
I also don't understand why people can appeal or not appeal. But
it
seems to me just money is the thing.
Well, here's their plan.
Which makes me think that the court system is maybe not fair. Interesting how I landed on that.
I got news for you. Yeah. Liberty Counsel, their whole goal is we want to keep appealing this until our friends at the Supreme Court hear it, and maybe they can overturn Obergefell altogether. That's their goal. They want to wipe out same-sex marriage.
Do you think we talk enough about how the shit that ends up in front of the Supreme Court is only there because deep pockets have an interest in going their way? And
only need four justices to say, let's hear it.
Well, and also, like, I don't know. There's other shit that's probably more important to discuss at the Supreme Court level. But instead, it's like, well, apparently every Christian in the country is giving $5 to this fucking trial. So we're going to do this until it's law.
We'll do the website designer who was never asked to make a website for a gay couple.
Like, it's so obnoxious. I fucking hate conservatives.
My favorite part about the story is I get one more chance to remind everyone of Kim Davis's marital history.
Because
again, remember, she did all this. She can't
because
sanctity of marriage. Mm. That's why she couldn't sign the wedding certificate. Which, by the way,
didn't she like cheat on one of her husbands?
Oh, we'll get there.
Yay.
The governor of Kentucky at the time all this was happening was a Republican, and basically the Republican legislature, they passed a law that said, you know what? From now on, county clerks don't have to sign marriage certificates. So they found a way for people like Kim Davis.
So they're bending over backwards to make one idiot happy.
Yes. That's the Republican
way. And they're
way.
Like, yeah, we're good.
Yes.
This is good. We're doing good country.
Kim Davis's history here. She married husband one, then had twins with future husband three.
Three?
Yep.
You skipped over one, bud.
Oh, I did not. She married husband one, had twins with husband three, divorced husband one, met and married husband two, divorced husband two, then married husband three, then divorced husband three, and then remarried husband two, and that's where we're at today.
She's got to be dynamite in the sack, huh?
You would think.
Like, what else? What other explanation is it? Because it's not her personality.
Rural Kentucky, there's only like three
people there. Actually, that's fair.
I don't know. But she has justified all this, and anyone
Which
who points
one was
it
named
out.
Davis?
I don't know. But she said God wasn't in the picture until husband two's mother died. And they went back to church in 2011. So anything that happened before then, you guys, just give her a pass.
Oh,
she wasn't a hypocrite.
I forgot about that. Yeah. That, like, any decision you make before today is, like, not to be regarded because that's the past. And we don't look in the past. You're not going that way.
Liberty Council has already sent out emails asking for people to donate money to Kim Davis to pay this stuff.
Which is fine, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't expecting this to come out of her pockets. They'll just put out the bat signal for Christian martyrdom and all their fans will come along. But basically, they wrote in their email, Liberty Council, the Davids, they are still trying to capitalize on the brief moment of fame they engineered back in 2015.
Engineered?
Yeah. This time, they aren't coming for Kim's job. Now, they want to take everything Kim and her family own.
$100,000?
Which,
that's a lot of money.
It is fine, but I'm like, they're not doing this out of spite. They're doing this because she broke the rules and they deserve justice. Like, it's just dumb to...
I mean, at least they're not, like, fundraising, like, for themselves off the back of it like Trump has been doing,
right?
Like, at least they have a little decorum.
You would think. So Kim Davis will be fine. So will Joe Kennedy. So will the florist. So will the website designer and all the other self-appointed Christian martyrs who pretend to be victims when all they did is shove their religion in everyone's face.
The Davids won an Academy Award for their great work on Everything Everywhere All at Once. And so they're going to be just fine.
They're going to be just fine, too.
It's a Hollywood joke. The directors of that movie are called the Davids because they're both named David. And I was making a joke about how these two guys are named David, and I called them the Davids and then pretended that they were the directors. It was just a funny goof I did.
I see how this works.
I need more coffee.
Never seen the movie. I'll get around
to
it.
You didn't see Anything Ever All at Once?
I'm bored.
What? Bored? What?
I watched 10 minutes of it. I'm like, no, not into
it. It's about generational trauma in immigrant families, Hemant.
I live that. I don't need a movie for that.
Oh, my God. But the moment, it's more about mothers and daughters.
Let's go to my favorite story from the week because I feel like I want to take credit for some of this. Okay, so last week, a week ago, Wednesday, there's a pastor named Rick Morrow of Beulah, yes, make your joke, Beulah Church in Richland, Missouri. And he gave a sermon, and this word traveled back to me real quick.
Try to eat my headphones.
Oh, you're going to want your headphones. I will say, the first excerpt I'm going to play for you here is kind of soft, and that's after I amped up the volume as loud as I could.
Okay.
It's just, his mic was off. You couldn't hear him. But if you turned up the mic, that's what he said. And basically, his argument is, you know, bad things in your life are demonic, and so prayer will help cure the demons.
Oh, boy.
And I'm going to play this for you. It's about a minute long. This is part of his sermon, because guess who he called demonic?
Hey!
Let's listen.
I can't wait to see how he pronounces your name.
I know. Here we go.
It's very crucial. Someone has a physical infirmity, and you cast that demon out, you might have to pray for some things to be fixed. Let's talk about one. Let's talk about autism.
No.
Yeah. He's still
did
going.
You just go there? Yeah. Like, I know a minister who has seen lots of kids that are autistic, that he cast that demon out and they were healed, and then he had to pray and their brain was rewired and they were fixed.
Fixed.
Yeah, I just went there. I mean, you can get online and see lots of examples of it.
You cannot.
If it's not demonic, then we have to say God made them that way. Like, that's the only other explanation. Why is my kid have autism? Hmm? Well, either the devil's attacked them, he's brought this infirmity upon them, he's got them where he wants them, and or God just doesn't like them very much and he made them that way. Well, my God doesn't make junk. God doesn't make mess ups. God doesn't make people that way. So let's quit being nice and putting a Band-Aid on stuff and giving it medicine. And this goes so much bigger than autism, people. I just gave you that as an example.
So that's Rick Morrow for you.
Did he just preach eugenics?
That's it. It's very eugenic-y.
And it's also the end when he said the thing about don't give him medicine. That to me sounds very much like
Or he's saying that if you're just accepting autism, that's like giving it medicine, but it doesn't cure the disease.
Oh, it's metaphorical medicine, yeah. Not literal medicine.
But he did say your options are either you accept the fact that the devil's gotten into anyone with autism, or it's like you're saying God doesn't like him very much and he made him that way. Which, if you ask parents who have kids who have autism, whether it's something severe or mild, mm-hmm. they're like, my child is perfect. I can't imagine my child any other way, mm-hmm. so my kid is fine.
Yeah.
And yeah, if God made him that way, it's because this is my kid. My kid is special. Of course you're a parent. You're going to think that. Of course that's fine. But this guy thinks anyone with autism, anywhere on the spectrum, is junk. They're a mess up. They're the result of demonic influence. Like, just wild.
Holy shit.
One mother.
That was grim.
Totally grim. And people on the church's website where they did the live stream of this, I'm surprised that, as of yesterday anyway, that sermon a week and a half later is still up on their site. They haven't removed it at all. But the comment thread under it is just everyone, Christian, not Christian, whatever, just saying, what the hell, dude? Here's one mother. My son's autism may have brought a lot of extra challenges to his life and ours, but he is an absolute blessing. Autism has increased my faith, brought me so many moments of joy, and has taught me many lessons in patience, hope, etc. My son is not junk or a mess up. His growth and successes are nothing short of proof that God has been at constant work in our family. And that sentiment shared by so many Christians, I mean, that's what they were saying to this pastor, like, what the hell is wrong with you? Because it would be so easy for anyone who is a pastor to flip this the other way and say, whatever your kid is dealing with right now, you have to consider it a blessing. You should consider it a blessing because God made your kid that way. One mother who was so upset about this sermon and happened to, I guess, know this guy, reached out to him.
The preacher.
She reached out to him to say, hey, my son has autism and he's a blessing too, and he doesn't have an illness. He's a brilliant child who just communicates differently. Mm-hmm. And then she asked him in text, like, how do you feel about kids with Down syndrome?
Truly.
And his answer, yes, I believe that illness. I believe that illness and sickness and conditions that need to be treated come from the devil. So also, if your kid has Down syndrome, that's also the devil's work. By the way, I just looked up the church's website. You know what their tagline is?
Oh, no. Everyone's welcome.
Making Jesus famous. Which...
That is the most embarrassing thing I have ever heard in my entire life. Will you say it out loud again so I can really take it in?
Beulah Church, making Jesus famous. Which,
oh my God.
This week, they did. Guess what I haven't told you yet about this dude?
What?
This pastor.
What?
He got elected to the local school board.
Oh, Jesus
Stoutland
Christ.
R2 School District. He is a school board member. He just got... welcomed onto the board. Like,
what state are we in?
Missouri.
Missouri.
April is when he joined the school board. He got elected. He oversees education.
He's
for
got
public...
some good ideas I think we should listen to.
He oversees education for public school students, at least some of whom I would have to assume are on the autism spectrum somewhere, which means he believes the devil has attacked all of them. Mm-hmm. And I would also assume he would think we don't need to do any interventions for them. We don't need to help them, give them IEPs, any individual programs. Like, just, we need to pray over
individual
them.
Individual educational yep. program?
Yeah, like, that's okay. The specific way the school's going to help your kid yeah. if there's some sort of thing we need to help them with, which public schools
American
do.
American high schools.
Yeah, and it's good. Yeah, I'm glad they have IEPs. But this guy, if he's on the school board, what does he want to do to help kids with autism.
Put them in a cage.
Yeah, and like and pray over them or something.
Circus and raise money for his fucking tent revival off the backs of these like kids with mild disabilities that he's like, well, devil, I guess.
Yeah. Speaking of tent revival, if any of this sounds familiar, it's because in January of 2022, Christian hate preacher Greg Locke said many of the same things. He basically said in a sermon that people were not taking demon possession seriously. He said, your kid could be demonized and attacked, but your doctor calls it autism. That's what Greg Locke said over a year ago.
It's so fucking insidious.
And
he's
his evidence?
22? I thought he said 2022.
And his evidence for that claim? Ain't no such diagnosis in the Bible. So the Bible doesn't mention autism. Therefore, that's how we know it's the devil's work. You know what else the Bible doesn't mention?
Diabetes, probably.
Yeah. Glasses.
Glasses is a good one.
Yep. Probably. Anything modern. Anything in the past, like, 1,000 years mm-hmm. in medicine. Anything that has developed.
Do they go hard in the paint on, like, menstrual products? Because I bet that's not in there
also,
too much.
Also, that's the devil making himself known. That's why
God,
it's red.
I have to throw it
You're
my
welcome.
Tampons again.
You're welcome. So, none of this, by the way, comports with the scientific understanding of autism, which is like has been called the most heritable of neurodevelopmental disorders.
Heritable?
Genetics. That's what.
Inheritable or heritable?
Heritable is what I saw in a paper.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
But genetics plays the biggest role in determining whether or not a kid will have autism, which is to say, the devil's not just picking your kid out. That's not how anything works.
Yeah, the devil's like going through family trees and looking for genetic abnormalities and like, aha, I found my in here.
And when Locke made his comments last year, you know, a number of adults with autism said his kind of thinking, which was held in their churches growing up, mm-hmm. it harmed them.
Yeah,
they were subject to exorcisms. They were traumatized because the churches taught them they were responsible for their disorders. They were subject to countless prayers, even though that doesn't help ever. And also, there's no known cure for autism. And many parents would tell you there's nothing that needs to be cured when kids have autism. So this guy, Morrow, has none of that understanding. He has none of the empathy. He's just convinced that anyone with even mild autism has a demon problem. And so that's what happened last week.
Wow.
And so I posted about it.
That is so fucking fucked up.
Extremely.
Oh,
I would like to say that when I shared that clip, that's part of why he felt the need earlier this week to respond to what everyone was saying. So on Sunday of this week, this one's a little louder, just FYI. This Sunday, he responded to the criticism and he said, you guys, I'm not attacking kids with autism.
Yeah, idiot.
I'm just attacking autism, which is, he's gonna compare it to things and, you tell me if this helps.
I don't think I want to.
Is
he going to say your name?
No. They never say my name. But
because they can't.
Uh-huh. And let's see what he said
and
Sunday.
I made a statement Wednesday night talking about demons, and we're going to keep talking about them on Wednesday night.
Double down.
And I made a statement. I said, let's talk about something demonic, and I said, autism. And then I said, God doesn't make junk. Those of you that know me
know
that I love people and I would never say that people are junk.
Well,
it has been perceived that I'm evil, that I am full of the devil, that I am possessed myself, because I said kids with autism are junk. That's what has been perceived. What was intended was autism is junk. People that have it are loved by God and loved by me.
A lot of amens.
Now, I've tried to reach out to some of the mob mentality that's attacking Beulah right now.
That's nothing. Reach out to the mob mentality.
I can't get anywhere. I have been told that autism is a blessing from God. I have been told that I'm the evil one. But you know what? If I was to stand up here and say cancer is junk, people would agree. If I were to stand up here and say addiction is junk,
well,
people would agree. But for some reason, when I shined the light on this subject, it has been blown so far out of proportion.
So I didn't hear the word sorry,
and
I was wrong.
I was just about to say that. I really did not hear him say, I don't believe people are junk, and I am sorry if you thought that I said that, mm-hmm. because that would, what, need some grace or some humility
Christian
or
word you humbleness
or whatever. Truly, it's so funny when, like, the rubber meets the road with these Christian dudes, and they're like, oh, yeah, no, no consequences for me. Thank you very much. I appreciate you bringing this up, but no.
So the only clarification he really made there is, like, you guys, I wasn't talking about kids with autism. I was talking about autism. And once again, everyone's like, yeah, dude, we heard you.
We heard you. We know what you said, and we know what you meant, and both bad.
And autism itself, again, assuming we're not talking about some very extreme form of it and stuff that actually interrupts your life, most people with autism, most people who know someone with autism is like, oh, that makes that person interesting, quirky, unique.
It's easier to understand a person when you understand, you know, how their brain is working. So maybe we should be a little more like sympathetic and empathetic and talk to people who are different than us instead of, I don't know, stand on a stage and call them of the devil.
Yeah. And to compare autism to cancer and addiction.
I mean,
dude.
I mean,
you still
at
don't
least
get it.
He kind of lined addiction up with a disease, which is a step in the right direction. So
right.
I think I may be adding that shine in hindsight. Wow. It's just sir, we have a horse show. my therapeutic riding barn that serves a population with various disabilities, including autism. We've got a horse show on the 14th and 15th here in Burridge, Illinois. If you want to come and see people with autism and your other horrible diseases thriving and living a full experienced life and finding joy and community, you come to my fucking barn and you tell me these people are junk, and then I will fucking fight you. And I have
many
horses.
He would do that. He would call them, well, they're all suffering. They all are
cool.
Demonic.
I want him to come out and just say it to my face and say it to the face of my students. And just be like, hey, you, one of my best horseback riders who's in her 30s and really thriving with a career, your autism means you're junk. Bye.
After all this, as of Sunday,
fuck this
he
guy.
Was still on the school board. And then on Monday of this week, or maybe Tuesday of this week, guess what?
What?
Finally, he resigned from the school board. Here's what the school, this is the only public statement I've found so far from him, from the board, anything. This is from the Stoutland Schools in Missouri. The district is aware that a member of the Board of Education, in a setting and capacity outside of his board member role, made comments that have been interpreted as derogatory toward individuals with certain disabilities.
The padding of that sentence is insane.
Yeah, the word autism doesn't show up in this
statement. Sure doesn't.
At the very end, I can confirm that the district has received a letter of resignation from the board member, which will be presented to the board as a whole at the next meeting. So at this point, it's a formality. They just got to, like, put their stamp of approval on it, and this guy's gone. So that's all well and good. He's not going to be in charge of the public schools. Also, by the way, everyone, go vote in your school board elections. Otherwise, guys like this win elections.
Truly, you guys, again, if you're listening to this podcast, go run for something. Again, Hammond and I can't. We're ungoogleable. But you can. Just add this to your, like, incognito mode.
But as far as I can tell, this guy is still, the church hasn't issued any sort of statement. They're very bad at limiting comments on Facebook. They don't know which buttons to press.
Oh, yeah. And so it's just nonstop.
Nonstop, and it's glorious because you could read what everyone's saying. And in this case, it is not just people like us. Criticizing him. There's so many Christians.
He does not have a leg to stand on here.
No, a lot of Christians are furious with this guy.
People on his side, obviously that.
Very few. The comments that are in support of him are very much like, you guys, I know this guy personally.
Sure.
He's
a good guy. He is misinterpreted. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, fuck.
It's those types of things.
Sure.
But again, a lot of Christians who would otherwise be sympathetic even to things like demonic intervention or like the demon possessed stuff.
Yeah.
Even they are like, dude, come on, too far.
Truly, the history of exorcism and mental illness is harrowing, you guys. Do not look it up unless you want to be bummed the fuck out.
So with that, let me jump to this survey that really surprised me at first. This is a survey conducted by the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, FIRE, which is a nonprofit group that purportedly... They purportedly defend freedom of speech, freedom of thought, but their whole thing
is... When you say reportedly...
Yeah, I'll tell you why.
From a conservative slant?
Kind of. Like, they're very much like, you guys, we're totally nonpartisan.
Okay.
And I have seen some statements from the organization that I fully agree with when it comes to censorship and, like, we oppose censorship and book banning and all that. That's all well and good. But also, they seem to think campus culture and, like, well, people protested a speaker on a campus and, nope, Milo should have the right to speak. Things like that.
It's like just free speech absolutists?
Yeah, like it's like any libertarian conservative types where they're like...
Nobody can tell anybody else what to do, period.
And if you criticize one of our people, how dare you?
Yeah, sure.
So, I don't know. It's a weird organization.
It's above board.
The weird thing is they collected a lot of the old school... ACLU types, the ones that are like, I'm a classical liberal, like Bill Maher or something like
the
that.
The ones who are like, yeah, when the ACLU defended the KKK, that was definitely a good, cool move that they did.
Yeah. I mean, they're free speech in all cases, and if anyone fights them on it, everything is bad. And again, there are cases when I agree with that, but they seem to think the biggest scourge against free speech are college students who protest things that happen at college. And it's like, no one gives a shit, but these people think like it's the end all be all of
and
all
how can,
protests.
Like, what are you going to litigate against people protesting?
They just complain about it.
Oh.
Sometimes they will do lawsuits.
I don't think I understand how most people earn money in this world.
Yeah.
Because anyway. I would like more of it, please. And apparently you can just walk around and do absolutely nothing like these dorks.
Oh, if you want to make easy money, the way to do it is just start complaining about liberals at colleges who are maybe well-intentioned, but they take everything too far. And that's the biggest problem society faces today.
Sounds like it.
And if you do that, conservatives will love you for it. Anyway, here's the survey that came out. They did a survey on free speech and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And here was the question. Is it ever, I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the exact one in front of me, but this is a fair interpretation of it. Is it acceptable for college students to protest a campus speaker by shouting them down? Is it ever acceptable for college students to basically
like
shout
mid-performance?
Them, like mid-performance or beforehand, so to the point where they can't speak?
Are you asking me or are you just laying this out there?
That's a rhetorical one, I guess.
Okay. I don't have strong opinions about these kinds of things.
What was surprising to me is when it said who says that's never okay? And or rarely okay.
Yeah.
The never acceptable, like the highest scoring group on the list, we have Protestants, Christians, Mormons, Catholics. They were the ones who said you should never shout down a speaker.
I mean, those are all top-down leadership situations, right? Like you just follow the whatever the guy on the stage says, so that tracks that.
Maybe.
You don't get a say in what people say. You just get it said at you.
Sure. And all of those were between like 42 and 45% who said never acceptable to shout down a speaker. And then another like 30% in each of those groups said it's rarely acceptable.
Okay.
Okay. Who's at the bottom of the list? Atheists.
Of course we are.
Only 24% of atheists said it's never acceptable to shout down a speaker, and another 30 who said rarely acceptable. So it sounds like, and this was the takeaway that conservatives online were taking, like, well, look who's tolerant now. It's not the atheists, it's the Christians. It's the conservative Christians who are more tolerant of viewpoints we disagree with. Atheists say they like free speech, but clearly, according to this, they think...
I see how they got there.
Only a handful say it's not okay to shout someone down, meaning... They think it's okay sometimes to shout down people whose opinions they disagree with.
And if we can extrapolate that out, that means atheists have no respect for anybody
Pretty much, whatever they're going to take with that. They just think when it comes to free speech, it's the conservative Christians who are fighting for free speech, not atheists who are followed by agnostics and Jews and Buddhists. Like, typically, yeah, the most liberal groups are saying, no, we think there are times when you could shout down a speaker. So that was the takeaway. It's like, that seems weird to me.
It's also like, listen, all knowledge is important to have and everything, but also like, well, I don't really care about these results. Like, I don't care how followy people are.
Maybe this is because I went to like a public college that is not a famous college, where it's like, I am stunned all the time by the people who think the world revolves around college campuses.
Truly, yeah.
Because I'm like, I had made great friends at college, mm-hmm. and that's about it. I don't remember much else. It wasn't a highlight of my life. It was fine. I did it, and then I moved on.
Oh, Ball State had Happy Friday, guys. Ooh. So some cool shit is happening. You wore a cape and wore a scooter up and down McKinley. Yelled Happy Friday. That's true.
This is why I don't take college seriously. So this is what I think was missing from that survey and a lot of conservatives' interpretations of that survey, which is when you think about why would anyone want to shout down a speaker at a college campus? I can imagine if you think like, you know, we're staging a debate on God's existence, mm-hmm. which is something I did in college because I ran an atheist group. We organized something like that. And if you said, oh, this is a very unpopular position someone holds, mm-hmm. I would have been deeply offended and upset if people shouted down my side, because like, yeah, just because you're uncomfortable with it, you should hear it. Mm. So I'm sympathetic to that. But if you think about who's been in the news in recent years for getting shouted down on a college campus, I'm going to give you some names here. There's a speaker named Ian Hayworth who denies trans identities, calls trans women a threat to women's sports, and thinks gender-affirming care is genital mutilation. Jesus. That was a guy who got shouted down. There's Riley Gaines, a college swimmer whose claim to fame was placing fifth at a national tournament and tying a trans swimmer. And now her entire life's goal is to oppose the inclusion of trans women in sports.
Well, that's a neat life goal.
Yeah. There's a federal judge, Kyle Duncan, who basically is a conservative right-wing provocateur, who has used his position, federal judge, to support same-sex marriage bans, mm-hmm. take adopted children away from gay parents,
perfect,
and misgendered a trans litigant on purpose in an opinion. That guy got shouted down. There's Charlie Kirk, the Christian nationalist. There's Milo Yiannopoulos, whose whole thing is, I just want to make liberals upset. Uh-huh. Those are the people who get shouted down. And the thing is, if they have a platform, and to be clear, I'm not talking about violence. I would oppose any of that.
Of course.
But if they're speaking on your campus and you're not getting a voice to be heard, mm-hmm. I kind of do understand that these are not opinions that we disagree about. Those are people who actively fight against civil rights. Mm-hmm. They either support or in some cases help write laws that would make it harder for marginalized people to exist at a time when those people have very little political power to push back, especially in red states under the Supreme Court. So injecting themselves into the narrative when a bigot comes to campus might actually be the most effective way to make sure the public understands what we are talking about here. It's not that they can't handle what the speakers are saying. Mm. It's that they know exactly what the speakers are saying because they've heard it before, and they don't believe we ought to be debating people's humanity. And they know that that sort of rhetoric can lead to violence against certain groups. So look, you can pin me down on certain instances, and I'm not going to defend all of them. But the reason you don't see stories about conservatives shouting down liberal speakers is because our beliefs are not toxic by comparison. Mm-hmm. Like, how worked up are you going to be when our positions are like, we should be tolerant and inclusive and not ban books, and hey, we should try saving the planet and have more compassion and dignity in public policy. Those are liberal policies. But conservative policies are like, let's just eradicate trans people. Mm-hmm. So, like, there are good reasons to shout down a campus speaker. If someone's coming to your school to argue we shouldn't teach African-American history or trans people should be excluded from public life, a polite exchange of ideas doesn't move the needle. As if the goal is to prevent hateful, harmful ideas from spreading, then guess what? Shouting down a speaker? It's not out of the question. And that, I think, is why atheists and agnostics and Jews, like, we may be open to that sort of protest in certain cases, and why conservative religious groups probably don't ever have to think about it. They never think, they never have to worry about shouting down a speaker, because who are you going to shout down even if you wanted to?
Truly.
Like, who has a belief so toxic that you're like, this is harmful? Yeah. You want us to be allowed to read books? Like, so the survey is not a sign that religious conservatives are more tolerant than secular liberals. It's a sign that religious conservatives can't handle the sort of opposition their beliefs deserve.
And that conservatives will always toe the party line, right? Like, you know, don't protest against anything because this guy says it's good and whatever. Like, they very much are not here to step out of line,
mm-hmm.
right?
And their beliefs, they think, like, well, if we can just have an exchange of ideas on campus, what, oh, tell me, you know, there's a meme online, but it's like, conservatives are like, I keep getting censored. It's cancel culture for my beliefs.
Mm.
Oh, what beliefs are people canceling you over?
Mm-hmm.
And then silence. Because it's never,
silence?
I have ideas about tax policy. It's never that. It's like, oh, what words are you not allowed to say that you really want to say? Oh, please tell us. Like, for what it's worth. I do think it's important that we debate controversial ideas,
mm-hmm.
and I would rather challenge bad ideas, challenge them, than mm-hmm. just prevent them from being heard.
Mm-hmm.
I've supported free speech that's unpopular in personally,
mm-hmm.
but my humanity is never the topic of those debates,
mm-hmm.
and I have a hard time faulting other people who are always subject to demonization
yeah.
and violence if they think they are going to take a different approach, especially when people in their community... when people on their campus are like, we want to give a platform to bigots in the name of free speech.
Right.
Like, a lot of those groups specifically platform bigots in order to anger progressives and invite outrage, because they can use that as like a marketing tool for mm-hmm. their own causes. That's why Kirk Cameron holds a lot of events at public libraries, then breaks the rules at those libraries,
and then
complains about how he's getting censored and
gotcha.
Persecuted. Like, I can get how targets of hateful speech might want to make their voices heard in whatever way to get attention.
Right.
That, to me, is not the same as supporting censorship, which I would oppose, but I don't think that's what this question is really about. So.
No, I agree. Wow, I mean, that was a just-level rant that you just went off there.
You're welcome. Uh-huh. Thank you. Let's talk about dumb acronyms for a second.
Dumber than fire?
Dumber than fire. You know the SAT, you know the ACT. There's now a Christian alternative.
No, there isn't. Go fuck yourself. That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my entire life.
No, the dumbest
Absolutely
thing is
not.
The name of the test.
Are you sure?
Uh-huh.
Wait, is it Christ?
No.
Is it, wait, cross?
Closer.
Yeah?
But no.
Okay.
That's not where I'm going with this.
Oh.
It's the classic learning test.
Classic CLT?
That's right.
The CLT?
That's what I was thinking.
Oh.
Or cult, if you want to also go with it.
Oh, cult is fun, too.
But everyone online is very much calling this the CLT test. Uh-huh.
That's pretty funny.
Uh-huh.
That's a good piece of business, internet. Good job.
Anyway, but here's the problem with this test, which is that there a lot of homeschooled children, a lot of private religious Christian schools, they are now pushing the CLT, which is what I'm going to call it for the sake of this podcast.
Uh-huh.
They're pushing this test as an alternative to the SAT and ACT, because what does classic learning mean? It involves
history.
Well, it involves
outside of Rome.
Dead white guys
yeah.
and only dead white guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then religious writing that we're going to parse. Like, all the questions in your, you know how you, on those standardized tests, you got to read a passage, then answer questions about it.
Yeah.
Well, what if we made the passage something religious? Like writings from 500 years ago about how amazing Jesus is.
I thought we were making a move to get away from the SATs.
We'll talk about
ACTs.
That. We will talk about standardized tests in general.
I didn't take the SATs. Did you?
I did.
Did you take the ACT?
Oh, I took them all.
Did
ACT,
you?
SAT, SAT2.
Do you remember what you got?
Oh, of course I do.
What did you get in your ACT?
Oh, I'm hell not.
Tell me.
So I'll tell you off mic.
I don't remember.
There's no answer I could give that won't have people either criticizing me or saying it's
good. I think I got a 24.
Good.
Does that sound right? Or is that really high? Or really low?
No comment.
Okay. I think that might be right. Or
anyway.
It could be wrong. Who cares? It did not have any effect on my life.
Yes, that's exactly it. And here's the thing. If you're applying back
the
in our day.
State was going to take my ass either way.
Back in our day, And thankfully, they are moving away from this. But back in our day, if you wanted to apply to a public college or an elite college and stuff, you had to take at least one of these tests, probably the SAT. It's slightly bigger. Mm. ACT is more Midwestern, I think. That's what I always heard. But you had to do well on these tests. That. And that, in addition to your GPA, in addition to recommendation letters, everything else for your application, that's how you would get into college. And there is a move to say maybe standardized tests are not the best way to assess how prepared for college someone is. Mm. So a lot of universities said, you know what? We're not asking you for that. You can submit it, but you don't have to.
Can I add another layer on top of that? The SATs and ACTs, people who have means can do practice tests and take courses and do all these things to prepare them to get the best score possible on their SATs.
Because there are tricks. Because there are tricks.
100% there are tricks.
Which is another reason.
And so
there's a benefit if you have the means to do better on these tests, which is to say that doesn't have anything to do with how prepared you are for college or how well you did in high school.
It means how rich are your parents and how invested are they in getting you into college?
Right. So that's another reason maybe standardized tests should be low priority. And again,
or
some colleges, some colleges have said, you know what? We don't care. We don't care if you take them. We're not going to accept them. We're not even going to ask you for them. We'll focus on your personal essays, personal statements, things like that. And I'm all for that. So that's a separate conversation to have. But in Florida, they're going in another direction because this week, Florida's public university system, which, by the way, we're talking about like Florida State University. What's the other one? University of Florida. All of these schools.
Florida State, FSU?
University of Florida, and FSU, that is included in the university system there. They said, not only are we accepting SAT and ACT scores, we are also accepting CLT scores.
Oh,
and these
boy.
Are, the people who voted to do this are basically Ron DeSantis' appointees, because they've been doing everything they can to, like, diminish public education.
Yeah.
Remember, this, just to give you a recap of what's been happening in Florida, Ron DeSantis and the Republicans in Florida, they've already tried to ban textbooks that they think are too woke.
Uh-huh.
They want to put more guns in more schools. They have criticized AP African American Studies because it teaches people about Black history. They make it easier to censor any kind of book. They have called for the end of tenure, which is why a lot of professors are trying to get the hell out of there. And Ron DeSantis led his allies conduct a, quote, hostile takeover of a fairly progressive school that he deemed too progressive. So his lackeys just took over the school, and now professors are running the hell out of there, students are trying to get out if they're already there.
I think that's what George Washington did, if I remember right.
Ended tenure?
Ended censored 10-year books. Censored books, all the things.
Yep, he's just like the president.
A question that maybe is too good faith for this situation. They specifically protest against AP African American history. Is that because of the slave issue of it all, or are they protesting just the idea of a course on a race of humans?
They wouldn't say that. Okay. They would say, well, you make white people feel bad. Some of the texts that are covered in this course include modern writing that we think is too progressive and too woke.
Listen, Toni Morrison has some ideas about the world, and I think maybe Florida could listen to them, so maybe they shouldn't ban her.
And stupid sidetrack, but like the College Board, which oversees AP testing and stuff, they kind of caved to Florida and said, yes, we will look at AP African American Studies and rethink it. It's like, what are you doing? Stop caving in. Nothing, based on nothing. Anyway, not the point of this. The point is, Ron DeSantis and Republicans in Florida have done all this stuff to hurt public education. Mm-hmm. It makes Florida students, if you're in high school looking to apply elsewhere, it's like, well, you're from Florida. I'm going to side-eye you.
Truly, if you are not getting a well-rounded education, we're not going to let you in our college.
Right. And if you're graduating from a Florida institution, I'm worried for the students that places outside of Florida are going to look at them and say you probably didn't get the education you need to work for our company.
If you're pot committed enough to get a college degree from Florida, you're probably staying there for your professional career, right? I don't think people leave Florida. I think they just stay there until they die.
If you're in education or academia, you may want to leave because this is not a safe place for you. Anyway, so for them to say, oh, by the way, we're now accepting the CLT, the only way you would want to say we're accepting the scores from this test is if you said there's reason to believe this is a good test to judge whether someone is fit for college.
Sure.
Which, again, there's plenty of criticism about the SAT and ACT and they're not wrong. Like, there are problems with those tests. But just to give you some numbers here, in 2022, 1.7 million students took the SAT. 1.3 million students took the ACT. That was in 2022 alone. There's a lot of data we have to work with over the past several years to see this is what students scored on those exams. This is how they then did in college. Mm. We could see if there's a correlation there. They, you know what I mean? There's a lot of studies about this.
Can they
this
do
stuff.
Beyond college?
Sure, because it's been around forever.
Yeah.
And we know how they operate. And they're pretty transparent about here's what we choose our passages from. Here's the type of questions we ask. The CLT, on the other hand, since 2015, it has been taken by 21,000 students total. That's
21,000?
That's it.
Very few.
Very few. We have very little indication of, you know, how do most students fare on this? How do they do beyond school? There's just no track record. Here's what we do know about the CLT. 85% of the students who take it are white. 99% of the students who take it attend private schools or charter schools or are homeschooled.
Really?
So it's
99%?
Like, at the moment. Which
so
is why, which
the,
is why yeah. Ron DeSantis wants this to become a thing that Florida colleges will accept, because if the biggest Florida public schools will accept it, that means more public schools will say, well, we need to help you kids get prepared for this test in case you want to take that.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Academia is such a fucking scam.
Right. So besides Florida, let's say you don't want to go to the Florida institutions. What other schools will accept the CLT? Well, it's mostly a bunch of Christian
private
schools.
Yeah.
It's Hillsdale College in Michigan, which is the school that's been the hub for all right-wing academic thinking.
Good.
And by the way, the SAT, they also love to trash because the College Board runs the SAT. College Board also runs advanced placement tests. So it's all, if they say, oh, AP African American Studies is too liberal, well, guess what? The same company runs the SAT. So we say the SAT is too liberal and
how
woke.
Can a test... I mean, no. First of all, I'm going to back down because I was going to say, how can a test be liberal? But there's lots of studies that show that there is a tests tend to favor white, like middle-class kids.
Yeah, and here's an example of that. The SAT, back in the day when they used to do analogies, there was a thing like a yacht is to a regatta.
Fuck you. It did not say that.
As this thing is to a different type of race. And it's like, you would have to know what a yacht is. You would have to know what a regatta is, a yacht race, to make sense of that analogy. And it's like, why would someone living in poverty know or care or come across that ever?
Yeah.
So that is what we mean by it can tailor to richer people, to white people, things like that.
People who think yachts and regalias are part of everyday conversation.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, there are legit criticisms. There are
regatta.
There are legit criticisms of all those tests. I'm not denying that. But the CLT, here's what their website says. They highlight the centrality of the Western tradition, which, as many people will say, that's just code for white, Western European, and Judeo-Christian. They have a lot fewer options. Like when it comes to what passages might we ask students questions about, you're going to get a lot more like older white Europeans and a lot less like Toni Morrison or Ta-Nehisi Coates. One of the sample passages on the exam, like they have one sample test on their website. And if you take it, one of the exams features a section from St. Teresa of Avila's The Way of Perfection, which is just a religious piece of writing from a long time ago.
Okay.
And here's the thing. That passage could appear on the SAT because they have a huge well of options they choose from and they don't limit the exam to certain kinds of writings. But the CLT emphasizes faith-based works and what they call the classics. Mother Jones, the progressive magazine, they took the practice CLT test not that long ago with someone in academics who focuses on standardized tests, and they're like, hey, take this test with us, and we want to see what you think of it, because you study this stuff all the time. And one of the complaints, this is from Mother Jones, in reviewing a published CLT practice test, we found that 25%, oh, I'm sorry, this is from the College Board. This is from the College Board, which did its own assessment of their competitor, the CLT. In reviewing a published CLT practice test, we found that 25% of questions were below high school grade level, For example, statistics concepts are not tested on the CLT.
Really?
As a result, scoring very well on the CLT may not necessarily indicate an equally high score on the SAT, which is aligned to high school grade levels represented in state standards.
Hmm.
One of the Mother Jones thing I wanted to mention is that when they took the test, some of the questions could be answered really easily without even reading the passage, because the wrong answers were so obviously wrong.
Oh,
and the
sure.
right answers, you could narrow it down to two, and like one of them, yeah, that's what they want you to answer.
Oh.
And so it's like, this is not a good test, sure. it seems. But Florida's Republicans have been elevating it as much as they can. So, and here's why they're doing it, I think. One is to downplay the importance of the SAT, because the College Board runs it, and they don't like the College Board because the College Board is, they believe,
liberal,
is too woke,
and
they
yeah.
run AP tests, and like AP Psych teaches you about like LGBTQ people,
uh-huh.
and it doesn't call it a disorder and things like that, so they think it's too woke. But also, if Florida's biggest schools are accepting the CLT, which by the way is shorter to take mm-hmm. than the SAT and ACT, and cheaper to take,
oh.
then teachers may feel pressured to put more religious essays and excerpts in front of students in order to give them a better feel for what they may come across. Mm. And I think that's what this is really about. Like, it's a way to shove religion into public schools without necessarily endorsing a specific brand of Christianity, because the CLT doesn't promote religion, but it does send the message that understanding religious writing is beneficial. And they emphasize that. And again, anyone who studies English, any of the SAT, ACT people, they would also say, yeah, religious writing is also important.
Hmm.
You know what else is important? Modern writing.
Yeah.
What else is important? Writing that might challenge people. But it's not an agenda per se. We just want to choose from everything because kids should be able to make sense of different kinds of writings. The CLT says, yeah, but really religious writings.
I mean, truly, it's... And I know I talked about this a lot, but like when I was in college, I was a lit major and we had to read the Bible for an assignment. We read, it was the moment when I found out there's two creation stories right off the top. So that kind of threw me for a loop. I have long said I am pro using, you know, teaching religion in an academic sense, because I do think that The reason these people are afraid of these colleges is because their kids go to college, they come back, all of a sudden they're liberal, they're woke, they're all this stuff.
Because they've met new people.
Because they've met new people. And this is so scary for them that they are trying to homogenize their life so that their kids never have to be quote-unquote challenged by quote-unquote difficult ideas like gay people deserve rights and happiness.
So one
what
other thing to
doing?
Mention here. In Florida, earlier this year, the Republicans in Florida also passed a bill. In Florida, if you're a high school student, there's something called the Bright Future Scholarship Program. And basically, it's the state's way of saying if you're in high school and you're one of the state's top academic students, it's to their benefit to stay in Florida to go to college because we want to keep you in state. And mm-hmm. then when you graduate, we want you to work in Florida. Mm-hmm. I get that. Every state does that.
Yeah.
In Florida, if you apply for the Bright Future Scholarship Program, earlier this year, Republicans said, we'll accept CLT scores for that, too. And that passed easily because it's a Republican legislature. A Democrat, State Representative Anna Eskamani, who's fantastic, she's one of the few votes against that thing. Mm. And basically what she said at the time, it's politically motivated to insert religion into our public institutions. As a firm believer for the separation of church and state, I don't think it's appropriate for a religious test to be used when it comes to our public universities.
Nailed it.
And one of the CLT's staffers, their director of marketing, said, you guys, there's no political motivation on this exam. Here's what she said. Are you ready for this?
Oh, God.
Students will be reading authors that are both atheist and religious. They'll be reading Karl Marx as well as Adam Smith.
Who's Adam Smith?
The economics guy.
Oh.
But, like, if that's your... if Karl Marx is what you jump to when you say atheist... It's like, oh,
yeah.
right, atheist,
communist,
you're linking all,
the
all that.
Same. Also, I didn't read Karl Marx in high school. I don't think Florida is going to encourage them to do so either.
I only read Karl Marx in high school.
Sure, that's why you have such a big bushy beard.
That is true. I mean, look, going back to what we were talking about earlier, I wish more colleges would just reject these tests entirely, place more emphasis on personal statements, recommendation letters, high school classes, less less on GPA too, because I don't know where you went to school. Yeah. Extracurriculars, personal interviews. But if students have to take a standardized test, they're going to be better off taking one of the known battle-tested exams, regardless of their flaws,
right,
rather than this faith-promoting alternative that only exists because conservatives want to create their own academic ecosystem than function in the same one the rest of us live in.
Truly, it kind of blows my mind that they're doing this now when, like I said, like, I think these tests are fully on the way out. Like, I don't think they're going to be around in 10 years.
Yeah, I think I could be wrong here. California is a state where their public university said, you don't have to take it when you're applying to our schools.
Yeah.
We'll look at other stuff.
I mean, truly, like, the bullshit about getting into colleges and how many people are a legacy and yada, yada, yada. Like, truly, the whole academic thing is a fucking scam. Not that education is a scam or studying is a scam or anything like that, but truly, like, the amount people pay compared to what they pay professors, it's, you know, colleges are just football stadiums with a library on it at this point.
Fair. Do you want to talk about something totally different?
I guess.
Yeah. Let's talk about church succession. Yeah.
Church succession?
Yes. Here's the question.
Like,
that
is somebody
Barna,
dying and then there's three siblings who are vying to take over the throne because nature abhors a vacuum.
That is
and then
correct.
They're sneaking around and then all of a sudden it's Titus Andronicus and people are making pies out of humans and cutting hands and tongues out.
And they said your English major would never come into use. So
I made Mikey watch Titus with me, Jesus, and he did not make it through. So he missed the pie part, which is real fucked up.
All right. So Barna, the Christian research organization, they asked a bunch of senior Protestant pastors, do you agree with this statement? It is becoming harder to find mature young Christians who want to be pastors.
Oh.
And what they found is in the past 7 years, the people who agreed strongly with that statement, like it's really hard to find new blood to take over our positions, that went from 24% in 2015 to 34% in 2022.
Whoa.
So it's a lot more pastors are like, yeah, I don't know who's going to take over my job.
Could you read that again? You said mature? Yeah.
This is the question. It is becoming harder to find mature young Christians who want to become pastors.
The mature thing is sending up red flags. I'm just
as opposed to.
I don't know. Like, are they talking about like maturity, as in like a lot of 16-year-olds want to come do this?
No, I think they're just saying
somebody who would be appropriate for this role.
Yeah, and who would be good in the role?
Gotcha. Okay.
Because I'm sure a lot of people are like, yeah, I could be a pastor when I grow up, but they're like, but you don't have the knowledge, you don't have the ability to do it.
Yeah, you don't have like the people skills, the public speaking skills.
Assuming the best of what pastor means.
And I have.
Yeah, of course. we're assuming the best of what it means to be a pastor, but they're saying there aren't a lot of people I would say, yeah, there's a young person who I would feel proud if they took over my role in the future. Mm-hmm. They're just saying it's harder to find. And part of that is our society is just getting older, and a lot of old people are reluctant to give up whatever power they've accumulated.
Really?
Welcome
I haven't
to politics.
Noticed that I know. Anywhere. Could you give me some examples?
Dianne Feinstein, Mitch McConnell. Every president.
Oh my God,
candidate.
Is he going to die already? He keeps freezing up.
He is already.
Oh, you think
he's
just a reanimated corpse?
Yes, weekend at Bernie's in Congress.
Oh, I was thinking Frankenstein, but.
Ooh.
Did anybody. Okay, I have an important question. Did anybody spin a big wheel and then open up the ceiling and then lightning struck him? Because then we might have a Frankenstein situation on our hands.
Like it.
Okay.
I mean, that would make him more interesting.
It would.
So,
oh, he has little bolts in his neck and we can put jewelry on it. It would be cute.
So. Here's on top of you can't find people who are eager to take your position later on. On top of that, seminaries have seen a decline in enrollment. Christian colleges, a lot of them, are closing. Church attendance has gone down. Younger generations are just far less religious than their counterparts. And this is interesting. This is from the Christian Post. Some Christian denominations, such as the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, reported that they were already in the throes of a succession crisis with a national shortage of at least 600 pastors.
600 doesn't seem like that many to me.
For that specific denomination,
oh, yeah, fair enough.
It's a lot. So this means what's going to happen? That means if you can't really find a successor for your local, smaller church, there's a good chance a lot of mega churches in certain communities are kind of swallowing up their congregations, saying, well, you can't really have services anymore. You can't pay for the rent. You're not making enough money.
Listen, we corporatization will, comes for us all. Yeah,
we will take your congregation, mm-hmm. welcome them into our fold because we can afford it and you can't. So that means more mega churches. Less diversity among Christians.
Especially not just diversity among the Christians, but among the messaging. That means more people are getting a single message as opposed to like lots of different ones. And that is not great, mm-hmm. I believe.
Like, you know, in baseball, they have AAA ball.
You?
I do for some reason. AAA ball, AA, single. Like, there's a farm system. Literally, it's called the farm system in mm-hmm. baseball. But there's really nothing like that in white evangelical culture.
Because the farm system of baseball is really abusive towards its athletes, and they pay them less than minimum wage. So let's not maybe use that as our standard, but go ahead.
Sure. So one of the problems with that is, where do you find
white evangelical
pastors to take over a church? Because in Catholicism, you do, if you want to be a priest, there's a whole process you have to go through. And I'm not even making fun of or criticizing the priesthood. There's a process you have to go through. You have to go through this training to become a Catholic priest. And you have to go through the seminary, and you have to go through all that stuff.
And you have to decide that you're not going to get married or have sex
and
ever.
All of that.
You think that's a hard sell?
Yeah. But for white evangelicals who don't have the no sex rule and don't have the you can't get married rule, there is no training program. Because really, what does it take to become a pastor at a mega church?
People need to like you.
People need to like you, and you need to have the ability to
capture an audience.
Yeah. So if you're
not unlike we do every week,
I think here's what that means. That means in the future, some of the biggest Christian pastors, the evangelical mega church pastors in the future, they're not coming straight out of some theological school. They're coming from YouTube. They're coming from TikTok because they know how to amass an audience and they speak Christianese. Mm. And so they know how to yell in front of the camera because they all know their online audiences are always going to be bigger than their actual congregation. And that, if you're a Christian who takes the beliefs seriously, that you should see as a problem, because these people are not being trained in the Bible, whatever they want that to mean. So Barna freely admits the lack of a good farm system, quote unquote, is a problem, because according to their study, more than half of pastors, 54%, disagree with the statement, "My church puts a significant priority on training and developing the next generation of leaders." Mm. So their churches do not do that. 4 in 5 pastors, 79%, agree that churches are not rising to their responsibilities to train up the next generation of Christian leaders. Mm-hmm. So churches are not preparing them for the future. They don't have some program in place to train future leaders.
Are you telling me that a system run by old white men is not forward-thinking or future-proof? Mm. That's so wild. Right.
And that's
so strange, because I haven't seen anything like that reflected anywhere else in my society. So it's just weird that this is happening to them,
They find people who know how to command a room, and they know how to use the pulpit to push their politics, and they get attention by yelling into the camera in the name of Jesus, and they emphasize the performance, nothing about Jesus.
I could use more attention. Should I be a mega church pastor?
It doesn't matter what you want. It's can you get it? It's can you get it? And by the way, here's the thing. That could have been a theological issue where it's like, well, you're a woman, so I don't know what we do with you. That probably won't matter.
If you can draw crowds, you can draw a crowd. Asses in seats, my dude. That's all that matters.
Maybe not in a Southern Baptist church, but in a lot of other ones, they would have no problem if you knew how to amass the clicks and stuff. Which means you are like Greg Locke. He has no formal training in anything. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about him in a second for a reason. Joel Osteen, who has the biggest church in America, has no formal training. He's literally said this in interviews. He took over that church because his father had a heart attack and died, and they needed someone, and he could talk.
And
kind
he had
of.
The biggest teeth anybody had ever seen.
And
they're like, we need to put him on stage.
Right. So, the pastor positions will get filled, but there'll be fewer of them. And I think there's a reasonable fear, if you're a Christian, that the sort of people who seek those jobs will be more interested in building a personal brand than fulfilling the traditional roles of a pastor. Uh-huh. Which means, if you think about church in a positive light, the things they actually do to help society and help their congregations, which is the counseling, the helping you grieve, they will have
the
no training in any of that stuff. You just hope maybe along the way they became empathetic or they know how to talk to people. But again, why would I talk to you one-on-one to help you with your life instead of just yelling at the YouTube crowd and telling them, Jesus, Jesus, give me money, Jesus?
I mean, maybe they'll get better and develop empathy Or they will discover a real taste for power, and that could go down a different path. Also, I wrote a little slogan for them. Do you want to hear it?
Oh, let's go.
Get your ass in a pew and your cash in the basket. Huh? That's their only goal.
I was hoping that would rhyme. I'm disappointed it didn't rhyme.
Well, I was trying cash it. Asses in seats, cashes in baskets. There's something there. Okay, I'm gonna shop it. I'll come back next week.
I'm so sorry. Another reason they can't find this farm system for Christians is because a lot of younger Christians they come to terms with the fact that they're the bad guys. Mm. We're the bad ones. Because you can look at this in any surveys. 38% of white evangelicals, 38% of white evangelicals under 35 support abortion rights. It's only 16% for people above 65. Younger evangelicals are more likely to support marriage equality. Mm. In 2020, they were less likely than their parents and grandparents to support Donald Trump and Republicans in general.
Interesting.
So if older pastors want to draw people in and consider this a career,
yeah.
Why would younger potential pastors want to run churches made up of MAGA cultists and conservative views? Like, a lot of the most devout younger Christians can barely bring themselves to attend church. Why would they want to take them over? And plus, why would anyone growing up in a culture where white evangelical cruelty has become the Republican platform and sexual abuse is swept under the rug and women are treated as second-class citizens and immigrants are seen as disposable, why would you grow up and say, I want to head up the people who say these things.
I want to perpetuate this.
Yeah.
This sounds good.
And again, that's the best case scenario because Catholic priests, like you said, they have to swear off sex and marriage. Mm. You don't have to do that when you're a Southern Baptist or a white evangelical or anything. Like, I think some young Christians probably don't want to be a pastor for the same reason they don't want to do PR for a tobacco company. Like, it's a job, yeah, but if you tell anyone what you do, you know what looks you're going to get.
Yeah.
Why would you want to do that? Why would you dream of doing that?
Well, and also...
That's a job you fall into accidentally because were desperate.
Well, I think it's a job that, like, you have to want to do because I imagine being a priest or whatever is a... more or less full-time job in terms of like,
of course it is.
You're always on call. You're always this person. You're always the figurehead. You're always the priest.
I don't have this in front of me. Just this week, there was a story in Religion News Service, the Wire Service, about a pastor, not a white evangelical pastor. It's a smaller congregation, but he announced his retirement earlier this year. He just left. So he had his final service like last week. I apologize. I'm forgetting his name. But the thing he did is after he walked away, he put up like a long statement on his personal site saying, you know, I'm not lying about why I said I wanted to leave. I am getting older, things like that. But also I have a lot of criticisms about church culture and things. And it wasn't like political criticisms or social criticisms because he was true to his faith. Mm. What he said is, I don't think people understand how burned out I got, how little support I got as a pastor. And he's not asking for gifts or anything. He's just saying, this is a hard job, and I just can't do more of this.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. This is your best case scenario, a guy who did want to run a church and is like, why would I do this? And he mentioned the pay.
Yeah.
And he mentioned the student debt from going to seminary because it's the same problem as everywhere else.
Oh, my God. But he's I didn't even think of that.
It's the same story where he's like, I went to school to train for this. I'm still paying off those loans, and I get paid very little as a pastor. And he's not saying I should get paid excessive amounts. He's just saying it's not worth it.
This is why I am leaving. This is not me. This is just... I'm letting you know.
Yeah.
I'm just letting you know as I walk out the door why I'm walking out the door. Do with this information what you will.
And that statement he put out there, it went viral, which is why they were covering that story as an article for Religion News Service. But the whole point is, there's your best case scenario. A guy who wanted the job and did it, and apparently did it very well.
Yeah.
He's like, I cannot do this anymore.
I mean, we both work with people, with kids, with whatever, and I know I could not do what I do without the support of the other instructors and my coworkers at the barn with me, because I can go and talk to them about the problems I'm having and they know who I'm talking about and all this stuff. I cannot imagine if I am a priest or something like that and I'm in charge of this congregation and there is nobody I can turn to and be like, so-and-so was being an absolute dick today, or like, I had a really shitty day because this happened. Like, it seems to be a very solitary life in terms of your true emotions and your true feelings. I feel like being on all the time is exhausting. As a person who's fucking on all the time, it's draining.
It
and I do not blame him for not being able to do that alone. It's hard. It's hard work.
It is. So, yeah, they're struggling to find a succession plan for future pastors, but also they brought this on themselves.
Yeah, truly. No good.
I thought I would jump in with a fun story here.
Oh, okay.
This is from our friend, hate preacher Greg Locke.
Oh.
He gave a sermon. I'm not going to tell you what it's about. I'm just going to play it for you because it's Greg Locke. It's loud.
Okay. How long is it?
It's about 30 seconds.
Great.
Have fun.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I'm locked in.
You know what's interesting? That the Illuminati's main symbol is an owl.
Illuminati?
Yes.
Mm. A creature of the night.
Is it?
Now, I'm not telling you that owls are demons. I am telling you that Lilith many times will come in the form of an owl.
Uh-oh.
I will tell you that. Because it's a creature of the night that is a representation of demonic powers in the Old Testament.
You think this guy's a cat?
And is a representation of demonic powers against all of the tyrannical people that we call out on the left right now. They celebrate the owl god.
That's it.
That was the end?
That was it.
They celebrate the owl god?
Which
my god,
I did
dude.
Not
put
know.
Down Twin Peaks for a second. The owls are not what they seem.
Demonic owls are his new enemy.
Okay, first of all, Ona Ross and Carrie have a long-running thing about obsessions with owls in various fringe groups.
Uh-huh.
I am going to text Ross about this and see what he has to say. Because owls are... Okay, many
because they represent wisdom, so he's mad about that.
Well, he's mad about their little motorboard hats that they wear when they graduate mm-hmm. and teach courses to the little birds. it's just strange, because owls are not the only nocturnal animal.
Mm-hmm.
They are not the most evil animal. Again, I bet this guy owns a cat, and like that is just letting Satan right in your front door. I know, I've lived with cats. They're mm-hmm. lunatics. And we worship the owl god?
Yes, those of us on the demonic left.
It was there a...
I mean, as you know, Jesus murdered 7 owls on his way back up to heaven.
Wait, I can't tell if you're doing a bit. I don't know the Bible well enough to join in on this bit.
Then it's 100% true.
Why owl? This is really throwing me for a loop. I do not know how to deal with this in my brain right now.
I will tell you, my favorite thing about this is how many on Facebook, there are so many owl pictures.
Oh, if
you Google or search for Greg Locke's name and owl, the responses are glorious. There are so many people saying, I'm bringing a Tootsie Pop to my next church service.
That's for the people uh-huh. older than us. okay, do you think it has to do... I'm just going through my Rolodex of mythology and wisdom.
Yes.
The only thing I can pull off the top of my head is Athena had an owl.
Did she?
That was her, and she's the goddess of wisdom.
Uh-huh.
And in the original... God, what was that movie? Monsters.
Invasion of the Body
Snatchers? No.
What?
It was, God, no fuck. Idea. It was the Greek mythology thing with Medusa. It's from the 90s. People know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
They redid it. It's like Gods and Monsters or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mechanical and that. I cannot think off the top of my head. Oh, Native Americans, I think, had an owl thing.
Uh-huh.
But why owls? I'm really, 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 really genuinely confused.
He just needs you to give a hoot.
And what? This podcast is canceled. I'm throwing this thing off the balcony. We are never going to speak again.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot. We can't move on. Stop writing things down. I need to know why owls. I need to know. This is going to make me fucking insane.
Here's the story he told before that clip I just played.
Thank you.
He said he had like 2 fake whatever owl statues mm-hmm. on his fridge. And one night on top of the fridge. And one night he was coming down at midnight or something. And he saw the 2 owls and he just makes his little eye contact with the fake owl statues.
Uh-huh.
And then something bad happened. And his wife or maybe the voice in his head that
his
he calls God.
His wife finished the leftovers that he wanted.
Yeah. Maybe one of them said, like, you need to remove the owls. And when he finally did that, the bad dreams stopped. So now he just has a vendetta against all owls.
I would really like
Mind you, this is the same guy who recently destroyed a big giant dollhouse with a bat that had a Bible covering up the head house? Of the bat. Everyone called it a Barbie house. It wasn't actually tied to Barbie. It was just a giant dollhouse. But he beat it up with a bat that he tied a Bible to and just beat the hell out of it. And now that everyone's like, yeah, what else do you got for us? So now it's owls.
That's so strange. I truly cannot imagine what it's like. I've been talking to my students recently about, you know, the imp of the perverse. Have you ever heard that expression? And have I talked about it before? It's that, you know, when you're walking across a bridge or standing on a balcony or something like that, and you're like, what if I just jumped off? Or what if I just fucking threw my phone in the ocean?
Just have these weird thoughts.
Just these weird thoughts. It's called the imp of the perverse. And I cannot imagine living a life where, because everybody has them, right? You just have these weird moments of like, what if I just punted the dog? I don't know. Why would I do that? I don't want to. It's just a thought I had. Imagine if every weird errant thought you had, you're like, oh my God, God's trying to tell me something.
Let me announce it to my live stream and then, of like, all these people in my air-conditioned circus tent.
Doing all of this work to like back into, I guess owls are bad now because I saw an owl at night and it scared me a little bit. Like, I don't know, dude.
That's how he rolls.
I bet he's into the owl theory of the staircase, which definitely wasn't it. But there's like six people who are really laughing at that joke.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Staircase, owl theory. Jesus Christ. It's so early.
One last story for you here, only because I don't think this will be relevant next week, but we'll see.
Oh,
there is the Community Library Network in Post Falls, Idaho, which is part of the panhandle of Idaho. Very conservative, very Republican part of the state,
it's
which
very beautiful
also
driving through there.
Describes every part of Idaho except like Boise. But it's on the western part of the panhandle. The Community Library Network oversees seven buildings plus a bookmobile. The Board of Trustees, like any library board, has to keep an eye on the budget. All that's well and good. In July, they had a discussion about whether they should consider reducing or eliminating library hours on a Sunday. Which, again, is the thing you might have to do if you're part of a library board.
Yeah.
Like, on one hand,
it's for staffing reasons.
Yes.
You can't afford to pay people if they're not going to be there, so you close one day a week.
So they needed to know. If you're a responsible board, you want to know, well, how many people use the library on Sunday? What are they using it for?
Right.
How many staffers are we hiring to run the libraries at these dates? So on one hand, if you close the library on Sunday there, that would, they said, reduce one part-time position per location, and that would save about $28,000. That was one thing they considered.
$28,000 for a part-time librarian?
Well, not all year round. Just like on these days for a few hours across the whole system. There we go. But they also said a lot of people use the library on Sunday. Mm. The trustees were told how often people access the internet, how many times the study rooms were booked on Sundays by students. Like, so at the time in July, they ended the discussion without taking action, but they requested more information. All of this is fine. That's what they're supposed to do. What's weird is that the board's chair, this is a 5-member board, the board's chair, her name is Rochelle Otteson, she argued that the library should remain closed on Sunday because
Jesus.
She said, well, I know many others at these tables don't subscribe to this, but the Lord blesses people who keep the Sabbath day holy. I think having people work on Sunday is actually to our detriment. To which another board member chimes in, and I'm paraphrasing, that's a batshit crazy idea. What they actually said was, I'm pretty sure not everybody in this community holds to that, so I think we need to look at the whole community concerning hours.
Yeah, dog. Thank you.
So 5 days later, they have another meeting, coincidentally, like a different type of meeting, but she did it again. This time, here's what she said. As far as closing on Sundays, most other government entities are closed on Sundays. This is not an emergency service. No one's going to freak out if they don't get a book on Sunday. Anyway, Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 10 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, .. So it sounds like we shouldn't be causing other people to work as well as not working ourselves. To which another trustee chimes in, I'm sorry, this is a government agency and we need to be available for everyone.
Good for her.
And another trustee brings up the fact that, you know, some religions consider Sabbath day to be Saturday. To which she had no response. She just pointed out, like, well, the founding fathers.
Oh, sure. The founding fathers were really, really concerned about public library hours, Karen.
Yes. And she closed her interest comments by saying, it's in our best interests to not dishonor God. So
Also, can we just have a quick conversation about, like, honey, that's really nice that you want to take a day off the table for people to work, but there are people who, like, need the hours and need to earn money to, like, eat
and
live.
And as many people said, not just the staffers, but students rely on the libraries to meet and do work, yeah. And people, like, there, it was not, like, a small number of people who are using the library's internet in a place where you can't really get good internet access at home in all places.
I mean, it just really shows how insidious it all is of just, like, every... If I am Christian, my duty as a human being is to spread the good word. And that is exhausting to me, and I'm so fucking sick of it.
And again, these people have been elected to government positions, and that's when they're doing this. So,
you should run for office. Listen to me. You're so smart. You're so good looking. I bet you look great in a suit. You should defo run.
Yes.
Get a little pan.
Americans United for Separation of Church and State stepped in to warn the board that you're heading down a dangerous path by listening to this crazy woman's suggestions. This is what their letter said, because they're nicer.
Oh.
Miss Odison is entitled to her religious beliefs, but she is not entitled to use the power of the government to enshrine those beliefs into law and to thereby force them on her constituents. Mm-hmm. The board has a legal obligation to refuse to act on Miss Odison's religious grounds. The Freedom From Religion Foundation has also weighed in, basically saying it is unconstitutional for public officials to push their personal religious beliefs during public meetings and to adopt policies based on those beliefs with no secular justification. We request that members of the board refrain from discussing their religious beliefs during meetings.
Cool.
So here's where it comes down to. There are three, this is a five-member board. Three of those board members were people who won their seats because of this push to get conservative Christians in office. And three of them...
Project Blitz.
Pretty much. They want the libraries closed on Sundays. But the board's attorney mentioned, at this point, we could be opening the door to litigation.
Yeah.
So the same board voted 4-1 to just table the Sunday closure discussions. But this was after the three of them had already voted to close it. So right now... I have no idea what the hell's going on, because they have voted to close down Sunday library services. They have voted to close them down. By the way, the same three conservatives have also suggested we disaffiliate from the American Library Association.
What?
Because it's ultra-liberal, and they say they have a clear animosity and resentment toward the family and traditional religious values.
I would love to see a concrete example.
Yeah, good
of
luck.
That.
Well, they don't want to ban books, so there's your example right there. So all that's to say, in this rural Idaho area, conservatives took over the place. Mm. They said we should close libraries on Sundays because of Jesus, mm-hmm. even though they may very well have had legitimate reasons to close it on Sundays in order to prop up the entire system.
Yeah,
and they could
like
have
it.
Said that, and they could have voted for that reason, and no one would be litigating about it.
Right.
But instead, because they have said so many things about religion as justification to close it on Sunday, no one seems to know what's happening now, because even the library's like, so did we close it on Sundays?
Oh,
no, we're not sure. And right now there's no lawsuit, but who knows? Just a weird situation.
Fucking idiots.
So there's Idaho for you. I'll hold off other stories till next week.
Okay.
Where do we find you?
I guess Facebook. I don't know, man. You can, here's how you can find me. You can leave us a review on iTunes. This one is called I Missed You. It's from Iggy Odd. 5 stars. Recently changed podcast players, and this show got missed in the transition. I kept thinking
what?
I was missing something, and then I realized the show was unfollowed. I was missing out on Mommy and Daddy arguing. Great show. I guess I'll have to catch back up. They always have 5 stars in my eyes, even when they're performing at a 4-star level. Jesus fucking Christ, passive aggressive much? Come on, guys. You can just give us a compliment and not, like, mitigate it.
You can make it up by going to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast.
No, we'll see you October 7th at Solemn Oath in Naperville.
Yep.
Yep.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.